Welcome to The Benchcast with your host, the man whose business is benching, Coach Ben. All right, guys, welcome back to The Benchcast. It has been one full year since our last episode, and it is about time the number one podcast for increasing your bench press comes back. It comes back strong. So this month, within my private team group with the athletes whom I coach, the theme of the month was all about doing your first meet, breaking down the barriers that are keeping you from doing your very first powerlifting meet, things such as not feeling like you're ready, not feeling like you're strong enough, feeling like competition is going to completely destroy you. You know, all these self-limiting beliefs, we completely shatter them. I showed my team how we can find meets in your area, what federations to look for, how to get registered, how to actually fill out registration forms, the whole nine, what division to compete in. So what better way to kick off the podcast yet again than to have a one-on-one interview with one of my athletes who has been absolutely crushing it with the team for over a year now, Eric Luminace. I am super excited to have him as the guest here on the podcast today. We had an awesome, awesome conversation about how he actually did his first meet in the fall with me. It was an amazing meet for him, 9 for 9. It was one of my best meets that I've ever done in a decade of competing. We had a blast. He did awesome in his first meet. So I wanted to really talk to him about what were some of those self-limiting beliefs going in, what were some of the things he was nervous about, and then how the whole experience goes. And I think those of you who are thinking about doing their first meet but just don't know where to start and are having some of these thoughts running through your head, I think this is going to be a great, great podcast for you guys to hear. I'm super excited to get into it. So without further ado, here is our Big Benches athlete, Eric Luminace. Enjoy. All right, guys. All right. You are listening to The Benchcast, and I am here with one of my athletes, Eric Luminace. Is it Luminace or Lumine?
It's Lumine, yeah.
All right. So Eric Luminace.
<It's fine.
laughs> we are going to be chatting today about his first meet experience. Now, this is I have a theme of the month going on within my powerlifting team. Now, we are going over all of how to prepare for your first meet, everything to expect. But getting an athlete to do their first meet is usually, as a coach, the biggest hurdle I have, because there's so much wrapped up in, am I ready? What to expect? The nerves that set in. And I think Eric's going to be able to share some real valuable insight here on his experience with what he thought about getting ready for his first meet, why he ended up taking the leap, and, you know, what the meet was actually like once we got into it. So, Eric, I appreciate you being on. This is our first Benchcast back in a while. I don't think I've posted anything in just about a year now. So this is going to be a great episode one to kick us back off on the relaunch. So, Eric, you've been with the Big Benches team for, you know, it must have been March last year or something like that. Been over a year, I imagine.
Yeah, over a year. It was about a month and some change, I think, now. Yeah.
So you've been on the team for a while. I know we had a meet prepared for October of last fall. I actually competed with you. Went awesome, really, for both of us. It was a fantastic meet. We had a great time at that event. But I'm interested to hear your thoughts on, when did you know, what were some of the things you were thinking about in terms of, will I do a powerlifting meet? And then what got you over the hump of, all right, let me commit, let's sign up for a meet? What was your thought process like that at the time there?
So I was when you asked me to like talk about my experience with this, I was kind of like thinking about like it kind of comes from like two different angles on like the hesitancy to sign up for a meet, right? Because and this is one of the things we talked about like when I first joined the team, like one of the things you ask is like, what are your feelings on like competition and being like, being competitive, both in terms of like pushing yourself, pushing others, challenge, like taking on a challenge. And like, I'm a professional musician, so I'm used to competing at like any kind of given day. You can view it as a competition, will I have this job? Will I lose this job? Stuff like that. And so I was like, yeah, like, no issues with like taking that leap and jumping into the competition. But at the same time, even if you're used to it, it's like we get the, we all get this idea of when you compete that you have to bring the absolute best performance ever. Otherwise, why are you even competing? And after like working, like mulling that over in my head a little bit, like my answer was, well, for fun, right? Like, you're doing it for yourself, not to show off to anybody else. Like, if you're showing off to other people, you're gonna run out of steam real quick, I think, because there's only a handful of us that can be the people that sit at the very top of any sport or anything like that. And if you absolutely want to be that person, well, you probably got a long way to go, and you don't want to run out of steam getting there.
I don't think
So
though, you coming in, I don't feel like you were like coming in trying to be the all-time best power lifter, but I totally get what you're saying about you want to be at your very best. And I feel like a lot of people, they're looking to achieve like a certain number, like they need to hit 315 before they go in and bench at a meet, or they see competition from looking at rosters of some random meet years ago, and they're like, well, I have to be able to beat this guy in order to be competitive. What was your thought process on like, what do I want to be able to achieve in my first meet? What is it that I'm actually looking to do? And I'm kind of nervous if I don't achieve this.
Yeah, and so that was the second angle I kind of referred to, is where it's like being basically hard on yourself. Like I know we've talked a little bit about the idea, like, thinking you have to hit certain numbers. Like, I was like, if I'm not coming with a 300-pound bench, what's the point of even showing up? Now,
You said
for
that.
the audience, I'll say I missed that 300 bench by 2 pounds on that beat. By 2 pounds. I did still did a great job, still went 9 for 9 and everything, and I'm very, very pleased with that. But like that, that was one of those things where I was like, if that's where I was that day, that's where I was that day, and so like kind of overcoming that idea of needing, oh, I need a 450-pound squat before I'm gonna do a full power meet. Yeah, like it's gonna be in your head, but you got to realize that like powerlifting is like is and this is something plenty of people have talked about. I know Chad Ikes talked about this, Jimmy Cobb talked about this. Like, it's a sport where you compete against yourself. So trying to like hit a certain number for your first meet is a little bit counterproductive, because you're just going to stall out when you have that first meet and delay it and delay it and delay it, when you could just go get it done with, and you're like, okay, now I know what to expect, so I'm better prepared to hit those bigger numbers my second meet. And you keep progressing from there.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned that. It's really about setting a benchmark. And I feel like something that also holds people back, I have this conversation quite often, is they feel like they're going to show up and completely get their ass kicked. And I think now that you've gone through your first meet, first off, I think you realize like you don't know who's showing up that day, first off. So like you can look at any roster, like you don't know who the hell is showing up. Like, I mean, Jimmy Cobb could just show up at a random local meet and kick everyone's ass, but it doesn't really work that
Yeah,
way.
and nobody's competing.
Yeah, and there's so many divisions, there's so many ways to find your little niche, and you don't know who's showing up. It's like You couldn't even prepare for competition at a local level meet because you just don't even know. So it's like to think that you're gonna go in and get your ass handed to you. I mean, you have no idea. You might ass hand someone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what was your feeling like you went in there in terms of competition, like even knowing who you were competing with? Do you even know who you competed with that day beforehand or what?
I mean, I definitely didn't know beforehand. I knew approximately one person who was going to be there because she trains at my gym. But again, not even in the same, like, competing in the, women's division and everything like that. Not my competition. So I had no idea who's going to be in one of the two weight classes that I could have gone into. I had no idea. There is, sorry, I don't know if we're doing a video recording of this, but like I'm just shrugging here, like there's no way to know,
Yeah.
but like the thing I found, like once I got there and once I did see, is like, it's generally speaking, like especially at a local meet, most of the people that show up there, they're just, the same people that show up training at your gym. Like, if they could be your training buddy that, you casually talk to every Friday when you're working on your bench, it might be that guy. And then like that's not so bad competing with your buddy. Like that's one of the reasons I do it,
Yeah, and then one of the things
So.
that I wanted to draw into is like I know I was there coaching, so it's a little bit different because I'm kind of handling that game plan and whatnot. But for anyone who, is just kind of going into their first competition, it's very unlikely that you are going to change your game plan going into your very first meet based on anything else anyone else is doing. Would you say that is that's a fair assessment?
Definitely. And it's one of those things where it's like, as much as I can, I can get amped up and everything like that, I'm a pretty by the numbers guy. And so like you're like, we're sticking with the plan. And I was like, all right, cool. Like there were some times I was like, I want to know the numbers, but it didn't really matter. Like, I'm not gonna try, like, I wasn't gonna try and jump to like a higher bench than like we knew I could manage that day, like just because somebody else did something. It doesn't help anything. It just kind of shoots yourself in the foot if you make those jumps like that. And it's really a lot easier and a lot more comfortable once you're at the meet, you're in the warm-up area, to stick to the pre-written plan. Don't try and just shoot from the hip. Like, what's the saying? An ounce of preparation is worth a pound of reaction.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's solid. Yeah, let's go into when you decided to just make the leap and do it. So what was your thought process
Yeah.
at that time when you were signing up?
Oh gosh, I've been like thinking, like I'd kind of like set this like loose goal of competing by the end of 2022, because like I'd loosely done some powerlifting training, some like and some mixed like training like o over the last like few years and everything, without really diving into like heavier training and stuff. And like once I started working with you is when I was like, okay, we're actually looking to increase numbers and really start to like get some serious heavyweight like on the bar and do the thing, and I was kind of like, when I signed up to join the team and everything from there, I was like, I can't just not, I need something in my life that this is working towards. I need something in my life that's more than just, going to work, coming home from work, going to work, coming home from work. And this was a really ideal way to like give myself kind of a bit of a life goal and something to like train towards rather than just training towards individual PRs in the gym, right? So it's like that kind of mix of thoughts and everything that like got me like, yeah, I should just do this. Plus, like I said, I've always liked competing, so you know, why not compete in a different, you know, in a different thing? Why not do, you know, a sports ba you know, a strength sport competition, you know? Why am I waiting? And then it was like I'd mentioned this one to you, I think like months before, and I've been like, if my gym isn't hosting one that this year, which they ended up not hosting, if they're not hosting one, I'll sign up for this one here. And that was the one in Agawam, and I was like, okay, waiting to see if they're gonna host, waiting to see if they're gonna host. And you were like, yeah, I actually signed up for this one out in Agawam. And I was like, well, now I gotta sign up for it because I'd been thinking about that one for a while. And it was just like that was like the final nail in the coffin where it's like there's no better time to do it than now. And so I was just like, I'd set this goal for myself. If I wait too much longer, there are going to be no more spots opening up, and I'm going to miss that goal by competing by the end of the year. I'd made a serious commitment joining the team. I'd needed something more in my life, and then my coach is like, "Oh yeah, I'm doing this meet." So like all of that together.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that kind of pushed you, a little peer pressure.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, what were you most nervous about heading into it? You know, it being totally unknown to you, how a competition works, the whole layout of the meet. What were you most nervous about going in? And then when you got there, talk about if you were right to be nervous about the things you were, and was it what you expected?
Okay, so I think the thing I was actually the most worried about had nothing to do with lifting itself or competing. It was actually I think I was most worried about the people. Like I was like wor like and you know you can watch as many like meets like on live stream or show up to like people's meets or whatever, and you're like, oh, it looks really supportive. But like, I was like, for some reason, I was getting in my head a bit like there was gonna be some asshole. Sorry, I don't know if I there was gonna be someone. I don't know if I can swear on your
Yeah, some damn assholes.
podcast, but okay, I didn't know if there was gonna be some assholes like in the warm up room. Either just like, you know, cr like, you know, trying to like crowd up the whole, the, you know, the be like the last bench for like warm ups, or like just, you know, being generally obnoxious or something like that, you know, garden variety dick, right?
Absolutely.
I was kind of like, is. I don't know why I was so worried that like there was gonna be something like that. And it's like there's always a way to deal with people like that. But I was legitimately like, what if the people freaking suck? And then the other thing I was worried about was like not so much following the commands on the lips, but you know, tiny little details that give it a that make it a white light or a red light. Like I'd had some tendency to soft lock knees. Still have that. So what's like while I'm controlled at the top of the deadlift or at the top of the squat, and I'm fully in control of that weight, you like you know that that can be the call for, you know, a red light. Even if it's like, well, they obviously had it and they held it for, you know, as long, like longer than even they needed to, you know, but soft lock, and there's the red light, and now the lift's no good, right? So I was really worried about those, and those coming in, and so the once I actually got there, the first one, the people, yeah, I didn't really need to be concerned about that. Overall, it was a really great group of people showing up, really supportive. They were, I mean, I didn't really get to know any of them personally or anything like that, but they were all, willing to, give you a hand with something, it seemed, as needed and everything. So that was good. And then, in regards to the small calls, I'd say that was a fair concern versus the people was like kind of like, yeah, there was no reason to be worried about that. But the like little details, definitely was something to be aware of, because like while I don't think I got a single red light that whole meet, they were like, hey, just a warning that your knees were a little soft there, make sure you pay attention to the lockouts, and stuff like that. So it's good to be aware of those things, especially for competitions.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a big thing is making sure commands are good to go, technicality of the lift. That's all stuff that, you're not really as prepped for in training. Sometimes you go into a meet and there's all these rules and standards. Talk about a little bit about how the coaching program, what we did together, like the things that I made you really key in on in your lifting, how that prepared you for doing your first meet, whereas someone who might not had coaching, what they might have experienced or kind of fell into a trap of and not have been as prepared.
I'm coming with the big one first. Pause on the bench. Pause on the
Well,
bench.
you know, I'll
Okay.
make you pause.
Now, I've never been, well, I shouldn't say never, but like since I've started considering myself training towards powerlifting, and like being an actual power lifter, I've never been one for like the like super touch and go reps on bench. I've always had a bit of a pause, certainly not necessarily long enough, but one of the things that you and it was your non-negotiables training that I still check back on every now and then, that got, how long of a pause am I actually doing here, right? And bonus content at my last meet in the shirt, when I hit the bottom of my first bench, which was pretty light for me, it was nice and doable. It was like the lightest weight that I could touch in the shirt, and I think it was 375. And it, it's, I get down there, it's sitting there, and I realize that the head judge couldn't see it touching, and so she wasn't calling the press. And I had to sink it just a little bit. So she was like, oh, that's touching. And then she called press. But without training the pause, that would have destroyed me. Because my like I was used to pausing for 1, 2 seconds on the chest. And I was like, this is fine, I can hold this. We do the long pause benches. 3, 4, 5 seconds down there, and I was like, I think it was like a solid 2 second pause when I looked back at the video, but I was able to stay nice and calm and not be like, why is it not calling? Why is just, okay, I'm just going. I was like, she's not calling because she can't see it. Okay, sink it a little bit lower. And then from the, and so that specifically, in my first meet, was definitely a saver. And I still remember you telling me after one of my presses, you're like, you're not going to jump the command, but you got to anticipate it a little bit more. So as soon as they're saying press, you got to be shooting that bench off, that bar off your chest, right? So you're not like not hanging out down there even a half a second, quarter of a second longer than you need to, right? So it was like I'd almost gotten like used to holding it a bit longer. Right. So that was huge. That was absolutely huge. The other thing was, Similarly, squat with hitting depth. I've never had an issue really with hitting depth. I've never gotten a call for depth on squat. But I have had comments from you and some of the other teammates to be like, make sure you're not going like too low, right? We don't need to go ass to grass on meet day or anything like that. It's great. If somebody wants to squat like that, cool. But we can cap that, have those hips, that crease of the hip, break the top of the knee, make that depth really nicely, and then oops, make sure my phone is okay. And then shoot right back up. That did help, right? Because I got really used to and like memorized where that spot was and just went for it. In terms of other training things, I mean, I don't wanna give
What
away any of
about
your training secrets.
meat flow? So I know having me there, I was able to really manage timing and things like that. But I was lifting too, and you were kind of in the back room, and you were kind of having to figure out your flow too. But we had a game plan already. And most people there are not going to have like a game plan. They're just kind of winging their warm-ups. So what did you feel in terms of meet day? Just even me being there and like the preparation we did, how that got you ready for that?
Yeah, that's huge. So like we didn't we talked a little bit about like how it's gonna break down and like when you're gonna be doing your warm-ups and stuff beforehand, but we didn't talk about like when it's their last one, you're gonna be doing this. It's like while they're it was kind of like it had been really general because like you knew you were gonna be there to like walk me through it a little bit better and we were gonna have time. So on the day of, like you were able to really like explain it or be like, okay, so you see how like now I'm doing my warm-ups now on their last time through, like I'm hitting my last warm-up on their last squat, right? That's the like this is when I want you to be hitting your last one. So like pace it so that they're like you have that last squat warm up at the start of their last round of squats sort of thing. And so it was a good kind of on the spot training too there. I mean, having the plan ready in advance and everything was great. The meet flow, like knowing what was going to happen, that there were like where the breaks were gonna most likely be. Of course, there could be any number of things that happen in the middle of the meet, but knowing that stuff in advance was really big.
Yeah, absolutely. What would you say to people who wouldn't have like a coach going into their first meet, or like, was there a piece of advice? Because I've been putting out information on preparing for your first meet throughout the month in our team group. And what would be now having gone through a few meets of your own, what would be your pieces of advice for someone who has no clue what they're getting into in terms of nutrition for the meet, the flow of the meet, the commands at the meet, the training for the meet? I mean, everything. Like, what would be your top things that maybe you were happy that you received that information ahead of time instead of going in blindly?
Okay. Sure. So I'm gonna kind of rewind like 2 weeks maybe prior to the meet. You'll probably laugh when I remind you of this, but it was like 3 weeks before and I had not gotten a singlet yet. So I was like, hey, coach, I think I need to get a singlet, right? I need to get a thing for this. And you're like, yeah, they will not let you on the platform without one. And I was like, that's okay, that's what I suspected. So my first thing with that is make sure that you have all the bare minimum required equipment beforehand,
Gotcha. That's a good
right?
one. That's a good one.
It's like your dad the socks, your shoes, at the singlet, at the It's a really basic thing, but if somebody's never done a meet before or been to a meet or something, really like you meet it's true. So first thing is for the event, right? The second thing is the last like that last week before your meet in terms of training, all the work's done. What Coach Ben likes to say is the hay's in the barn, right? The work's done. The only thing you can do is show up and that like do your best at that point. Don't try and do anything crazy in the last week, even 2 weeks before. Maybe like your last opener attempts like 2 weeks or so before, depending on like your cycle and everything and like how you've planned out your training. But like the week before, light movement, less overall, and let your body recover and build up, store up those the store up energy and be ready for meet day, because I absolutely would not have done that if it hadn't been programmed that way for me. Nutrition for the meet was another big one. I'm not a big fan of cutting weight because I have like a lot of experience cutting weight for like Marine Corps making weight, and I've done the 6 hours in a sauna. I've done that. I don't love it, so I didn't do it. And that's a big one. You don't. I want any new listener, excuse me, new lifters who might be listening to this, thinking about their first one and be like, be really competitive at this weight class, because we talked about that a little bit for me. It's okay. It's your first meet. You don't have to be the most competitive in your weight class. You can just take it where you're at for your weight, do the best you can with those, and then like future meets, you can consider it from there, And that's the same thing same thing we talked about. You don't got to do all this crazy cutting stuff, risk hindering your performance for the sake of that. And then tying that into nutrition, have your snacks on hand. I think I showed up with like three wraps that I picked up at like the market basket the night before, plus like my Sour Patch Kids, plus my beef jerky, and I don't know what else. I made sure I had plenty of stuff, plenty of water, all of that. Ready to go, and I ate most of that throughout the meet. Yeah, I ate like all of that pretty much. So make sure you have those things, like whether it's like whether it's a sandwich, something, you're gonna get hungry, you're gonna need to eat, not just the Sour Patch Kids, not just the beef jerky. You're gonna need actual food to fuel your body right now, which is water. We're doing like this water boy challenge right now in the team. And you're gonna need like a full gallon of water, I swear. Start drinking it when you don't think you're thirsty, and you'll realize that you're thirstier than you are. Like right now, I'm like, before I like as soon as I started saying water, I was like, I'm really thirsty right now. But the same thing at the meet, I was like, coming off the platform, and I was like, I feel good. Okay, cool. Second squat attempt, and I think you were like, hey, make sure you drink some of your water. I was like, I'm good. I got this. All right. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm actually thirsty.
Yeah,
Need
you
some
hit on a lot
water.
of you hit on a lot of the good points
Yeah,
there.
I think that's about everything. That was a long-winded one.
Yeah, no, that was good. You hit on a lot of great stuff, and I think some of my steadfast rules for anyone going into their first meet, as you know, no weight class drops, 'cause just go in, focus on performing at your very best. If you miss an attempt, I'm gonna have you retake it. I'm probably gonna only work you up to where your gym PR was, because you gotta think when you're at a meet, you're doing all three lifts. You're not just on a great day hitting one lift. You gotta factor in the fatigue that you're gonna be carrying throughout the day. Go to the bathroom twice between every lift. You should be drinking that much water, that much hydration, eating. You need to be going to the bathroom frequently. And if you're not, then you're not really maximizing your performance. So, I mean, all of just little steadfast rules of mine when you're doing your first meet. You crushed it there. You came in, you did a 9 for 9 performance. I know we probably had a good amount left on the table there at the end. So you didn't necessarily go balls to the walls with the meet
Sure.
attempts. That wasn't really the goal. But do you feel like you were set up in a successful position where, like, I feel good about what I did in the platform? I executed at a high level. Because I can guarantee you, there was people that were mentioning you and how quality you were lifting at. Like, you were lifting like you were a seasoned freaking pro there, versus someone coming in their first meet and all over the place making weird attempts. I feel like, and hopefully you feel like this as well, that performance, you felt good about what you did. It left you hungry for more, and it set the benchmark for future meets.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, in regards to the coming in strong, good plan, people talking, like, it was really funny to me because, I have a really good, like, really good situational awareness of what's happening around me, sort of thing. So even as I went for my third squat, and it's like, and the guy's like, big squat for Eric here, made it look as easy as his first two, and I was like,
I remember that.
yeah, right, it was the same thing, like with the deadlift. It's like, final deadlift here, let's see what you've got, and pull it. And it was like, making it look like an opener, sort of thing, which my whole goal with this was, to still to leave some left on the table, like you said. And we did that. The goal in setting up a good, successful first meet, know what's possible, and be able to go into future meets with confidence, knowing exactly how I could treat them. Yeah, we definitely accomplished that. And it kind of showed when my last meet, my first equipped meet, single ply, came around a couple months back now. It's one of those things where it's like, I was like, oh shoot, everybody who I had talked to about possibly being a handler for me, because I'm going to need that in the warm-up room, especially in a shirt. Everybody I talked to bailed, and then shout out to Jeff on this, because he drove all the way over and up to New Hampshire to be my handler and killed it. But like, he was like, I'm here, whatever you need, like, I've got you. And I was like, all right, we're gonna take this. I've got the plan in mind. Here's what we're doing. I just literally kind of copy pasted what our strategy for my first meet had been. Basically, when I'm taking warm-ups, how I want to do it, when I'm getting in the shirt, when I want to start wrapping my knees, because I had timers on that. And I was just like, and I was able to just be like, all right, Jeff, let's start wrapping knees now, if you're ready. And he's like, cool, man. And like, just like gunned it and went for it. Wrap those suckers nice and tight for me. perfect wrapping. And like, being able to, like I said, copy paste that first meet experience kind of into even an equipped meet felt really easy. Right? Like, I had no doubts at all that like my third attempts were gonna be there. Like, even with some like weird calls that happened in that meet, I stuck to the plan. I made the conservative third attempt call, even though I knew I could do the higher one. I was like, there's no reason not to stick to the plan. We'll dial back a little bit on the third deadlift. And then I still, blew it out of the water, still crushed it. And so that was the, I was like, that's the only thing to do. Stick to the plan. There's no reason to lose your mind out over it, We got this. And then we did.
Yeah, I gotta pump you up here, Eric, not just because you're a lifter that I coach, but because you truly earned, everything that you got coming to you. Here's a guy that no meet experience before, solid lifter, some technical stuff that needed some work, but really how you've been able to apply coaching cues, how you killed your first meet. Stuck to the game plan, listened to the game plan, executed, going to your next meet here. You're going to a national level event within your first, not even a year, because we're talking October into August, but within a year's time frame, here's a guy hasn't even done a meet, now going to a national level bench nationals meet in Arizona. And he looks like one of the most proficient lifters. Like if I could pick out if there's a top five, like Mount Rushmore of technical lifters on our team right now, Eric's got to be up in there because he's dialed in with what he's doing. And that helped him so much going from his raw lifting into his equip because he had such a great foundation. And I'm just super proud of you, bud, because you've worked your tail off. You've been able to apply everything that we've talked about to like an advanced degree. Like no one would think it's your first year competing, not even close. And now you're going to a national level event and we are pumped for you. I'm pumped for you. And we want to see you absolutely crush this thing. So let's when we're ending it here, let's just take it back to the first meet again though, because the best part of any meet is the feeling right after that final deadlift. You know the meet's over. You did what you came to do, or you didn't, but either way, it's over. The dust has settled, and there's lots of emotions, whether they're positive or they're negative, but you're feeling something, and it's cool because you're feeling really emotional either way. And usually in our everyday lives, it's not like we really get to experience that type of rush, whether it's positive or negative. But I want you to go back to that first meet and really think, man, I just completed a 9 for 9 meet. I want you to just tell everyone, like, how did you feel after that? Even just going throughout the rest of the day and the night.
I'm gonna say cathartic. Like, personally stressed or anything going into it. Sure, there's a lot of build up and everything, but it's like, like you have this like spring that's winding tighter, 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 tighter. And even though like overall I'm very, very much a calm person, like in internally, like in my and everything, it's still like suddenly you have just like, well, for me at least, it's like suddenly nothing is on your shoulders anymore. Like you took that 400, 70 whatever pound squat, you racked it, and now that weight's gone off your shoulders, right? And so it's like, I think I spent the entire, like I had like an hour and a half drive home or something that night. And I spent the entire time like on the phone. Like I called my mom, told her about the whole experience and how I did. Called my partner who'd been waiting to hear about it, told Danny about the whole experience and how it went. And basically like was like I could not stop talking their ear off about it, and I was like, yeah, I should shut up now. But I like, I achieved all these goals I set out for, and like, well, I don't personally experience like that joy is like this like soaring high kind of feeling, but it's just like the way that there's like nothing feeling was definitely what I was like feeling that whole time, which is if you've ever like had like some of like 6 hours, that's a pretty great experience too.
Yeah, if you could just like bottle up that emotion sometimes after a meet, I mean, it's why we do
Take a
it.
quick hit.
It's why we do it. It's just, you just been through hell, your body's broken down, and you are just like exhausted, but you just accomplished something or didn't. But either way, you know, you're feeling some type of way. You're either really motivated for the next one, or you are absolutely in bliss because you just put yourself through hell and you accomplished your goals, and it's a great feeling. What would you say as we round it out here, if someone's sitting on the fence right now, and maybe they're listening to this and they're like, oh, but I've been wanting to do a meet. I don't know if it's the right time. I think I need to get stronger. I'm just not sure. What do you want to say to that type of person here?
You don't need to get stronger. You don't need to wait. None of that. Because I did the same things, like I talked about, you can absolutely do it. Because the perfect time's never going to present itself. This is the same thing with that people talk about with diet and exercise. It's the same thing that people talk about with if you need a want to try and do a career change. It's the same thing about whether it, anything from picking up a new hobby for the first, for the first time or the first time in years, or completely changing your entire life. There's no time like the present. You don't need to wait for New Year's, because if you wait for it and then you delay even a single day, you're not going to do it. Your New Year's Eve is right now, and your new day to start your New Year's Day to start this new journey is tomorrow. Start it first thing tomorrow. Go sign up for a meet. Just do it. Right?
Just do it. I love it. Really good advice right there. You guys just replay that part right there. Just do it. Just sign up, you know, let the cards fall as they may, but you're not going to do anything towards it if you don't just sign up and do it. If you're not sure where to begin or where to find a meet in your area, you can always shoot me a message. Big Bench is on Instagram. Shoot me a DM. Be like, Coach, I want to compete. I'm just not sure where to begin or how to sign up. I want to thank Eric. Again, Eric is a Big Benches
Course.
athlete, absolutely crushing it. And I'm extremely proud of you, bud. And listen, Eric has a GoFundMe because Nationals is in Arizona. It is an expensive trip to go to any of these events, airfare, lodging, eating, preparation for the meet, the entry fees for the meet alone. So I'm going to link in the show notes Eric's GoFundMe. If you can donate anything whatsoever to that, please, please do. He's been working his tail off. If you got any great advice from him today, if you can donate anything, that would be awesome. He's super amped about this trip. I'm excited for him to go in there and absolutely crush it. So I appreciate you, Eric. Thank you for popping on the Benchcast, first episode back in a while. You crushed it. A lot of great info for some lifters looking to do their first meet here.
Of course, thanks for having me here, and I appreciate everything you do, Coach.
I appreciate you, buddy. So that is a wrap for the podcast. Thanks for everyone listening, and I will talk to you guys next time.